We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone. Leah Mattinson here, and thank you so much for joining us from wherever it is that you are on this beautiful planet today. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening and sharing the podcast for the past 7 years to your friends, family, and extended family throughout the world. In 2021, I was privileged to get knocked off of YouTube very early on, talking about things to do with the Shenanigana Fest, as I like to call it. And so it's my distinct pleasure at the end of 2023 to be bringing on a fellow Canadian to the podcast today, Dr. William Mackus. Dr. Mackus, welcome to the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I'm going to read a little bit about Dr. Mackus's background. Dr. Mackus obtained a four-year undergrad degree in immunology and at the University of Toronto, a medical degree at McGill University, and a five-year medical specialization in nuclear medicine, radiology, and oncology. He worked for Alberta Health Services at the Cross Cancer Institute as the head of the Medical Isotope Cancer Treatment Program. He is an associate professor at the Department of Radiology at the University of Alberta, and he is the author of over 100 peer-reviewed publications in international medical journals. Again, welcome to the show, Dr. Mackus. We're looking forward to diving into this really important conversation with you today.
Thank you very much.
So what got my attention about Dr. Mackus's work is that I was actually at a meeting and somebody gave me this newspaper, and I'm going to show it. So for those of you who are listening to the podcast, come over to watch the video version at masteryourlife.ca, because again, this probably won't last a day on YouTube, but you can see it at the website. And so the headline was this one: 80 Canadian MDs vaxxed and dead. And all of their pictures were on the front of this newspaper. And I went, what in the heck? Somebody's actually published this? Because we've all been looking for where's the actual data? You know, lots of people have the stories and the anecdotes, but where's this data at of the number of people who are affected by this? So, and then I was scrolling through that a little bit further and realized that it was Dr. Mackus's work that was kind of bringing this story out. So tell us, Dr. Mackus, where do things stand now? Because this was a November 2022 publication, and we're December 1st doing this recording. Where do things stand now with this story?
Right now, we're at 94 Canadian doctors who've died suddenly or unexpectedly since the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines. And I want to stress that this is not all doctors who've died. In the past 2 years, these are doctors specifically who've died suddenly or unexpectedly. These were actively practicing doctors. I set a cutoff of age 70 because in Canada, most doctors will work until the age of 70. And if they are actively practicing doctors, they would have had to have been up to date on their COVID-19 vaccines, because we have vaccine mandates in our healthcare system in Canada, across all provinces. And so most doctors would have had either two shots at the time of death, three shots, or four shots. Some doctors at this point even have five shots in order to be able to work.
So lots of injections, and this is not something that's optional. So what's the difference between the numbers, just for people's sort of to get a context for it, prior to the time of these COVID injections being required? So what was the death rate in Canadian doctors in 2019-2020 versus 21-22?
So a team of volunteers that I've assembled, we've put together a very large database of Canadian doctor deaths spanning the past 4 years, so we can actually answer that question, because I did get that question a lot once this information started coming out. We now have a database of just over 2,000 doctors who've died in the past 4 years. This is all ages and all causes. And this information was obtained from medical institutions in Canada, about half of the entries were obtained from the Canadian Medical Association, which has an in memoriam page where they keep information about doctor deaths. Now they've started deleting these entries. They've deleted over 200 of these entries recently. So it seems they're trying to actually erase some of this information. And then the rest of it is sourced from other medical associations, medical school alumni associations, provincial colleges of physicians and surgeons, and so on. So these are all official medical sources. When you analyze the database of these 2,000 doctor deaths over the past 4 years, we find that since the rollout of the COVID vaccines in December 2020, which is when the vaccines started getting rolled out, if you look at the mortality in 2021 and 2022, we see a significant spike in mortality across all age groups of doctors. Older doctors seem to be dying at a rate of about 30% higher since the rollout of the vaccines. But the younger you get, the higher the mortality gets, which is where this is really concerning. If you look at all the doctors under the age of 50, in 2021 and 2022, they are dying at double the rate compared to 2020 and 2019. And 2020 is a pandemic year, so you would actually expect doctors to be dying at higher rates in 2020 because of the pandemic, but that wasn't happening. It only started following the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines. If you set the cutoff at age 40 and you look at doctors under the age of 40, that jumps to 4 to 5 times the mortality rate compared to before the rollout of the vaccines. And the youngest doctors under the age of 30, are dying at 8 times the rate since the rollout of the vaccines. And we saw, for example, at McMaster University this summer, they announced that they lost 3 medical students from their school just this past summer who died suddenly or unexpectedly. Their ages were 25, 27, and 32. So it is really the young doctors that are dying at very, very high rates. And this is a very strong safety signal that's raising alarms for me and you know, anyone who has seen this information.
Right. And so what are the doctors saying? The doctors who are alive, who are working with these doctors who are dying, are you hearing from them?
Well, the
response is horrifying. It's like horrifying.
Well, the response is mixed. Mm-hmm. So if you look at Canadian nurses are seeing this and are genuinely concerned. And I get tons of emails from nurses raising an alarm and they're seeing it in their practice. They're dealing with these patients who are vaccine injured or who are dying suddenly or unexpectedly. When it comes to doctors internationally have thanked me for raising awareness of this. Many of them seem to be awake to this concern. However, Canadian doctors, at least the ones online who have been aggressively pushing the mRNA vaccines, are attacking me on this information. They're smearing me. They're saying it's misinformation, that it's fake, that it's made up. And they seem to be in denial. However, recently I've received a few emails from Canadian doctors who are starting to get worried themselves. They're unable to speak up because they're worried about losing their jobs, but they are really starting to get concerned. And they've told me, okay, we're starting to ask the same questions. We're really concerned. Can you give us more data? But they're not saying it publicly. They're only saying it privately to me right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What a horrible position to be in, where you're absolutely trapped by the place that's supposed to be for your health.
And they are trapped because they're trapped in these vaccine mandates. Mm-hmm. They have to be up to date on their vaccines. Now, if you look at the general Canadian population, only 20% of Canadians are currently up to date on their COVID-19 vaccines, which means they've taken a COVID vaccine shot in the past 6 months. However, doctors have to be fully up to date. And in fact, you know, here in Alberta, our health authority claims that over 99.9% of doctors are fully vaccinated and up to date on their vaccines. So we have a population of young individuals, young healthy individuals who are far more vaccinated, COVID vaccinated than even the general population. And so if there's any injuries or deaths that we're seeing in this group, you know, of Canadian doctors, that's really a canary in the coal mine, you know, for the remainder of the population, because these are, you know, young, healthy people with no prior medical conditions who are now dying at unprecedented rates.
And can you talk about what is the vaccine injury that, or the symptoms of the vaccine injury, so that people can get a sense of that? We've had guests on talking about some of the what they're seeing, but I'd love to hear from your perspective what's come out from your studies.
Well, so when you look at the vaccine injuries there, I don't have enough data when it comes to doctors, because doctors will generally not report their own vaccine injuries or any side effects that they might have had from the vaccines. So what you will usually see is you will see a doctor who was very pro-vaccine, very active on Twitter, and then suddenly they disappear or they stop posting. I've seen that several times now. And it's very hard to get any kind of data on vaccine injuries, because doctors will not talk about it. They will just not attribute any symptoms or side effects to the COVID-19 vaccines. And maybe they're afraid for their jobs, or maybe they are just in denial and they do not make the link. Mm-hmm. So there we actually have a complete lack of data. But if you look at the doctors who died suddenly or unexpectedly, and if you read the obituaries from, you know, their family members and friends, it always seems to come as a complete shock. You know, there's very rare, you know, it's very rare that you see that someone, yes, you know, this person had been complaining of chest pains or some other symptoms for a long time. It always seems to come as a complete shock. And most of the deaths, of the sudden deaths, seem to be caused by cardiac events, sudden cardiac events, which, in my experience and from my professional opinion, is probably caused by post-vaccine myocarditis, which seems to have been grossly underestimated by the authorities, who claim that it's very rare and very mild. But recent studies are showing that it actually might be much more common and much more serious and deadly than we've been led to believe.
Because once you take off the doctor's cloak, you're still a human.
Yeah, well, you know, I can look at this. I can look at this objectively, mm-hmm. in a way, as an outsider to the medical system, because I've been retired for a number of years. My cancer program was actually attacked by our healthcare authorities, who tried to get it shut down. So I've been outside of the medical system. I haven't practiced for a few years. So I can look at this from outside of the medical system. I was not forced, you know, with the forced vaccinations. And I can look at it objectively, both as a human being, but also as a physician as well. And so I haven't been subjected to the same sort of brainwashing and propaganda that my colleagues have been subjected to, in the workplace. I know there's a lot of peer pressure that happens in the workplace. And so even if you have concerns about the vaccines, you're surrounded by colleagues and peers who are all in on the vaccines. And so that affects your judgment as well.
And so why do you think people have been so enthusiastic in the medical world to embrace the vaccines? Because the all-in, it's a very strange thing to not have any sort of reservations about wanting to stick a needle in your arm of any kind.
Right, yeah, this has been one of the most surprising aspects of the entire pandemic to me, is that the doctors in Canada have so enthusiastically embraced mRNA vaccines with complete disregard for safety, for informed consent. I think there might not be any patient in Canada who has received proper informed consent when they were given their COVID-19 vaccines. I don't think people were told about the risks. And so why Canadian doctors specifically have embraced these experimental pharmaceutical products, I don't know. I suspect that the medical institutions that doctors rely on for information were captured very early on by big pharma or pharmaceutical companies. And so the messaging that came from these medical associations from the very beginning was very aggressively pro-vaccine. And then doctors, you know, maybe they're overworked, maybe they didn't have time to do their own research, seem to have embraced this messaging that has come from these medical institutions, which we know many of them have relationships with these pharmaceutical companies. For example, Canadian Medical Association, which is trying to cover up these doctor deaths by deleting doctor death entries from their own website. So Canadians can't go back and compare the rates of deaths of doctors compared to the pre-pandemic era because they've been deleting the pre-pandemic era entries. The Canadian Medical Association has a relationship with Pfizer, and they have this they've had this relationship for a decade for continuing medical education for Canadian doctors. And it seems they're far more interested in maintaining that relationship with Pfizer than trying to find out why their own doctor members are dying in record numbers. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the capture of the medical institutions that has been instrumental. And doctors, for the most part, seem to have fallen in line.
Mm-hmm. So don't bite the hand that feeds you. I'm curious too, Dr. Macus, if as you've been doing the interviews worldwide now with international audiences and talking to doctors worldwide as well, if they've reported things back to you about having similar experiences in other countries.
I can tell you, I've spoken with a group of doctors in Mexico, and they actually referred me to their colleagues in Guatemala who are doing research right now. And over 100 doctors in Guatemala have died suddenly or unexpectedly since the rollout of their vaccines. And they've actually been able to correlate the timing of when they took the vaccine to the timing of their death. And they're seeing clusters of physicians who took vaccine at a similar time. They tend to die within a certain number of months, closely to each other as well. So we've seen this with doctors in Guatemala. I've seen an article done in the United States on a number of U.S. doctors who've died suddenly or unexpectedly. It came out in October or November of 2021. There was a report, and then you didn't hear much about it since then. There's been sporadic reports of doctors dying suddenly or unexpectedly in the UK, Australia, and India, but it seems that other than Canada and Guatemala, it seems no one else is keeping track, a close track of these doctor deaths in other countries. I know it's happening, but I don't know of anyone else who's keeping a detailed track of these deaths. And I know why, because the way I've been attacked and smeared by mainstream media like the Toronto Star, I've recently had a hit piece done on me by the Toronto Star, which the headline of it was, why won't a debunked conspiracy theory about doctors, you know, dying from COVID-19 vaccines, why won't this debunked conspiracy theory go away? And it was basically a hit piece, a smear piece, where they interviewed a University of Alberta law professor, Timothy Caulfield, who has received more than $2 million from the Trudeau federal government to, quote, promote vaccine acceptance, end quote, and to fight misinformation online, as he claims. And so I've been smeared for this, just for raising the concerns about this. I've been attacked. And I'll tell you something interesting is that if I had a job, I would probably be fired by now. And if I had hospital privileges or medical license, those would probably be stripped from me just for simply bringing this information to light.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
I know why, doctors are not speaking out and keeping track of these deaths of their colleagues, because I've been recently smeared by the mainstream media. I've been attacked by the mainstream media. I've had a hit piece done on me by the Toronto Star, where the headline was that why won't a debunked conspiracy theory about doctors dying from COVID vaccines, why won't this conspiracy theory go away? And what they did was they interviewed a University of Alberta law professor, Timothy Caulfield, who has received more than $2 million from the Trudeau federal government to, quote, promote vaccine acceptance, end quote, and to fight misinformation, COVID misinformation online. And this individual said that he personally debunked this story of doctors dying suddenly or unexpectedly. I don't know how he debunked it, because there are no autopsy reports for these doctors, but he claims he debunked it and that this is a conspiracy theory. And then they attacked me personally. So The reason why I can speak about this is because I am retired at the moment. But if I wasn't, I would probably lose my job. I would probably lose my medical license and hospital privileges simply for raising these concerns. So I'm not surprised that other doctors have been afraid to raise similar concerns.
And this is not the first time that the federal government or Justin Trudeau has paid somebody to actually be his spokespeople, because they fund the mainstream media here in Canada and they've said that they own it. So, you know, that's not anything that should be surprising to most people who are listeners of the show. The horrifying thing, I think, though, Dr. Macus, is too, is that these doctors are the people who we're supposed to trust. They're enshrined as the Ola Salima gods that, you know, are going to tell us what to do and how to be well and how to, you know, fix the pains, things that pain us. And yet they're willing to watch their own colleagues kind of drop like flies and not do anything about it. It's very reminiscent of people who are completely zoned out themselves, you know, just to not have any humanity. It's like they've lost their humanity. And because you would recognize, holy, that those people are struggling, or that was a sudden death, or that's five sudden deaths. Like, what in the world's going on here? That's a human. But when we're so, everything's like checked out from the human efforts and initiatives, that we, I think, become very numbed out to it. So it's all about the paycheck and trying to keep a roof over your head and trying to keep status. And the doctors are not the only ones. So we see a lot more disparity between the people who have money, which are the people who are working for Alberta Health Services. They haven't lost a paycheck, not one day, you know. So there's a lot of people who are being paid to stay in the fiction. But the horror, though, is that those men and women who lost their lives have parents. And those parents are grieving the loss of their children, even if the colleagues are not.
Yeah.
Because parents have feelings about their kids typically. You know, so what are the parents saying? Or are you hearing anything from parents at all?
Well, I have been hearing from the family members of several of the doctors, and they are upset. They are upset. And you know, they see that they're not receiving any kind of support from either the healthcare leadership or politicians, and they want answers. They want answers why their loved ones were forced to take these COVID vaccines, why they were not informed of the risks. They want answers. And what they're finding is that no one is willing to talk to them. Everyone's ignoring them. Everyone's mistreating them or abusing them. And I really want to stress that the healthcare leadership in Canada absolutely doesn't give a damn about doctors dying suddenly or unexpectedly, or nurses dying suddenly and unexpectedly, or paramedics, because we've lost a number of nurses and paramedics this summer, very young, who died suddenly or unexpectedly as well. So the healthcare leadership absolutely doesn't give a damn. And this is really horrifying that they would really choose to ignore this to maintain their relationships with pharmaceutical companies when their own colleagues are dying. And really their response has been to lash out, to attack and smear individuals like myself, who are just trying to raise awareness and bring this to light. So I've been extremely disappointed with the healthcare leaders who know this is happening. They do know this is happening. You know, the Canadian Medical Association has received a number of letters from me. Now, something very interesting has happened recently. One of the past presidents of the Canadian Medical Association, the association that is covering up these patient deaths, Dr. Gigi Osler, has just been appointed by Justin Trudeau to the Canadian Senate. So here's a doctor who was a past president of the Canadian Medical Association, 2018 to 2019. She's just been appointed by Justin Trudeau to the Canadian Senate. What's interesting when you look at her timeline on Twitter is that she has spent the last 2 years aggressively selling and promoting the Moderna vaccine, the Moderna mRNA COVID vaccine. She posted pictures of herself taking the Moderna vaccine. She even posted a TikTok video of injecting her teenage daughter with the Moderna vaccine, urging everyone to go and get the Moderna vaccine. She was even making fun of the vaccine injured on that video, saying that, oh, look, there's magnets are not sticking to my daughter's arm. Basically referring to, you know, the theories that
the graphene oxide.
Exactly. And so she was making fun of that. She was basically mocking the vaccine injured. So this is a Canadian doctor who was in a leadership position at the Canadian Medical Association, and she gets a lavish political promotion. And she's now a senator in the Canadian Senate, thanks to Justin Trudeau. And so the current Canadian Medical Association president, Dr. Alika LaFontaine, who, again, has not responded to me about these sudden Canadian doctor deaths, he congratulated her on this political appointment, and he said, oh, maybe one of us will one day be the Prime Minister of Canada. So these people have these delusional aspirations. They all are looking to move up politically and get political rewards for pushing the COVID-19 vaccines, and they are ignoring the deaths of their own doctor members of their own associations. They absolutely don't care that their fellow colleagues are dying in record numbers.
And people should be horrified. The one of the things that has struck me about again over and over, I've had this podcast on for 7 years, Dr. Mackus, and the reason I started it, Master Your Life, was actually about developing your moral attributes, morality. Right. So this whole political, you're not able to have quote unquote political conversations. These are not political conversations. They are moral conversations. It's immoral to allow your fellow citizens to take something that kills them. Like, do they not take a Hippocratic oath here in Canada?
Absolutely, they do. We all take the oath as medical students in our second or third year. And it seems a lot of doctors have completely forgotten about their oath. And what's really shocked me is that most doctors you will see online, it seems that they've really just become pharmaceutical sales reps. They've become sales reps for Pfizer or Moderna, and they don't have any other, they have nothing else to contribute to either the online discussion or to their own patients. They never talk about early treatments for COVID-19. They say there are no early treatments for COVID-19, even though there are many, whether it's ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, whether it's quercetin or black seed oil, or, you know, there are many, many early treatments you can try in COVID-19. They say there are none. There's only vaccines, and go and rush, take your vaccines, regardless of the side effects, regardless of the injuries and deaths. They refuse to write vaccine exemption letters. And really all they do is push this one flawed pharmaceutical product from Pfizer or Moderna. And that seems to be the entire focus of their medical practice. And that's in complete violation of their Hippocratic oath. So I don't know why this is happening in Canada, especially. The doctors really seem to be on this path in Canada, much more so than in other countries like the US or UK, where doctors are pushing back against these experimental pharmaceutical products.
We've been so fortunate, I think, to have had a pretty solid economy for as long as I have been alive. But I'm also a farm girl. And so part of this whole thing of not actually taking care of your own body before you need to go see the doctor and take medications is also, I think, been hijacked entirely. And so, again, I go back to the point of why people are lining up for this stuff so rapidly is it's an indoctrination, a complete total indoctrination about you need medication to cure everything versus that you would have any God-given natural immunity to anything. It's just like, it's been so hijacked. Well, you got a little sniffle, got to go get something for that. And it's like technology has taken over everything.
I think a lot of people were fooled and tricked into this. And you can see that with the uptake numbers, the vaccine uptake numbers. They were very high for the first two doses. You know, the uptake was in the 85, 86% range of the entire Canadian population. Then it dropped to about 50% with the first booster shot, and it's dropped to about, you know, 15% with the second booster shot. So people are waking up, and people are not taking the vaccines anymore. As I said, only 20% of Canadians are currently up to date on their COVID vaccines. And, you know, you wonder why, if these products are so safe and effective, shouldn't the uptake be 80, 90% as it was in the first two doses? So you can see that, there's definitely something wrong with these products. And what we are seeing is just an absolute tsunami of vaccine injuries and deaths that are being reported online. And the censorship online is completely out of control. So a lot of these stories are buried. People have lost their social media accounts. I lost my Twitter account in March 2022 just for raising concerns about vaccine safety and efficacy in kids 5 to 11 years old. And I pointed to a published study that showed that efficacy is very, very low, and that at 6 months, the efficacy becomes negative, which means that vaccinated kids were more likely to be infected and hospitalized with COVID-19 than unvaccinated kids. Mm-hmm. And for that, I lost my Twitter account of 14,000 followers. And I've learned that since Elon Musk took over and he's released some information, I've learned that over 11,000 Twitter accounts were shut down and suspended simply for raising concerns about COVID-19 vaccines, vaccine mandates, and so on. So there's been a tremendous censorship. And I think that's contributed to this sort of brainwashing that a lot of people fell under, is because the information was censored. The concerns of doctors like myself were censored and suspended. But that's slowly starting to turn. I'm hoping that with Elon Musk will restore those accounts and that those voices are finally heard again.
Right. And that people have the ability to listen to them. Because one of the things with this huge amount of people that are reporting injuries now, and they're, when we say reporting injuries, it's so depersonalized, right? But myocarditis, like, what are some of the symptoms of that? What is the life that you're living with? Like, you're short of breath, you've got no energy, you can't get out of bed, you're depressed, you know, and on and on. You're in pain, you know, lots of the other things that we're seeing, really painful blood clots. Blood clots that are leading to death, you know, so you can, and the list goes on and on, neurological problems. And again, it's like one of those fancy titles where people don't really think about what it means, but neurological problems. I just saw a fellow whose movement disorder was so bad, Dr. Macus, that it looked like my dad had Huntington's disease and it looked like my dad's Huntington's disease. And this fellow was reporting it and said, he was a healthy guy. Yeah, fairly young, father of seven, in good shape, lined up to get the injections, you know, thinking safe and effective. And then the first injection, he was done for. And yeah. So this, and he has recovered again. So if people want more information about that, he's had some recovery, which I think is also pretty miraculous. You can check out that story by coming to masteryourlife.ca, the website. We can't talk about it extensively on this interview because that's not what we're here to do. But I do want people to realize that these injuries are real, and they really, he couldn't get up off the couch. You know, so, and lots of pain, months and months and months for some people. And then they're choosing to take their own life.
Yeah. I've noticed, when I do presentations, I've had to do research, on this. And I discovered that neurological injuries are actually the most common injury after COVID-19 vaccination. It is the number one category of injuries. We know that the spike protein gets into the brain. We know that the spike protein can cause inflammation in the brain. And once you have inflammation in the brain, that can cause all kinds of problems, all kinds of paralysis, Bell's palsy, movement disorders, like you mentioned, seizures. Mm-hmm. Now a lot of us have seen these videos of people who suddenly stop what they're doing. They start looking around, they start looking in the air, and then they drop to the ground and start having convulsions. Some of those people end up dying. So there's seizures that you can have after mRNA vaccine. Some people were told that now they have a seizure disorder. They took one mRNA vaccine, they were perfectly healthy, and now they're told by their doctor that they have a seizure disorder for the rest of their life. We've seen reports of prion disease, also known as mad cow disease or Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. There's a Canadian doctor in Vancouver, 66 years old, Dr. Gerald Simkus, a cardiologist, who just died after a brief battle with prion disease. This is very concerning. And of course, we also see a spike in mental health disorders, mm-hmm. whether it's psychotic episodes or increased anxiety, depression, personality changes. People are reporting personality changes in their loved ones. And this has led to, I believe, to an increased risk of suicide. Mm-hmm. So I think we may actually see increased number of suicides following COVID-19 vaccination as well. So it's not just the myocarditis. It's not just the blood clots. The neurological injuries are devastating. There's autoimmune injuries. And there's, of course, these rapid cancers. Some people are calling them turbo cancers that seem to be arising post-vaccination, where these cancers are very rare, very aggressive, and they will claim the person's life in a matter of months. And a number of Canadian doctors have died with these very aggressive, bizarre cancers that arose after two or three COVID-19 vaccines.
What a horror show.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
I remember COVID first hit in March 2020, because my birthday is March the 12th, and I was sitting there having a dinner with a friend, and I got a text message from my neurologist friend in Germany, who I've had on the show, who's involved with the Huntington's disease groups. And he said, get inside and get your jab. And I'm like, lots and lots of pressure. I got blackballed from the whole Huntington's community because I wouldn't take it. Because I went, why would I inject myself with something that looks to me as if it's going to change my DNA? I think my DNA has already changed. Thank you very much. I don't want to make my brain any more inflamed. I'm fairly well educated about all of this stuff, but I just had enough fear and common sense to go, I'm going to wait it out and see if this thing actually works. But there was so much pressure to take this thing in all these communities where diseases already exist. You couldn't go see your doctor. You couldn't go see your family doctor. People who were expecting couldn't actually take their spouses in to see the birthing doctors. The husband has to stay outside. And then there's all this pressure for the wife to take a jab or to even have the child in there in utero now have an injection is being proposed.
Yeah.
Like, it's That's just true. Completely wild.
Yeah. No, there was tremendous pressure across the board. And we saw it in a lot of professions. People had to take the vaccine to keep their jobs. Yeah. When this was pushed out on city workers, it was pushed out on policemen, firefighters, teachers. Teachers were aggressively pushed to take the vaccines. And of course, healthcare. There was tremendous amount of peer pressure. And I saw this again, watching from the outside, mm-hmm. I saw this peer pressure, among my colleagues, my former McGill University colleagues, they were posting, online that they were getting lining up for the injections and so on. And so unfortunately, I think a lot of people were rushed. A lot of people were rushed and pressured into these vaccines mm-hmm. Without being told the full risks about the vaccines. And I think that's why doctors now are stuck in Canada. Doctors are really stuck in a hard place because a lot of them promoted these vaccines without providing informed consent to their patients. Mm-hmm. And now their patients are showing up with all kinds of injuries, COVID vaccine injuries. And so they don't want to acknowledge these injuries. They're pretending that these injuries don't exist or were not caused by the vaccine. And I think that's why we see some of the Canadian doctors online so aggressively deny the existence of COVID vaccine injuries, and they're blaming everything on long COVID. So now the new thing is that they're blaming everything on long COVID. Even now we're seeing huge outbreaks of respiratory viruses, unprecedented outbreaks in Alberta, which is affecting tens of thousands of kids of all ages. Schools are seeing huge absenteeism rates. And a few months ago, there was a very aggressive push to get those kids mRNA vaccinated. And so we have about 80% of kids 12 to 17 are mRNA vaccinated, and about 40% of kids 5 to 11 are mRNA vaccinated. And these mRNA vaccines suppress the kids' immune systems. They cause immune system dysfunction. So now I'm being contacted by teachers who are telling me that kids are getting all kinds of immune reactions following vaccinations, that their parents are telling the teachers now, my child has all these kinds of immune reactions. We have an unprecedented outbreak of respiratory infections because it seems a lot of kids' immune systems have been damaged. So there's just been tremendous amount of damage done with these vaccines.
And so would people discount that to just like regular seasonal flu symptoms or regular viruses kind of traveling through, which often happens in spring and summer?
Well, they're trying to explain it away somehow. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that right now the outbreak is so severe, it is several orders of magnitude beyond what we've seen in previous years. So they're trying to find an explanation. And one explanation they're proposing is that, you know, we don't have any more mask mandates. So it's the fault that, you know, we're not masking anymore. Or that now they're proposing that COVID has some way of damaging the immune system somewhere down the line in the future. So that they're proposing that, you know, many kids might have been exposed to COVID a year ago, and then now their immune systems are suffering from some new undescribed entity, which is complete nonsense. And this is really they're dancing around the elephant in the room, which is the mRNA vaccines have caused widespread immune suppression in the population. And I believe it's causing widespread immune suppression in the kids as well. And the doctors, of course, now are not allowed to admit this because they were the ones who were pushing mRNA vaccines in kids in the first place, where the kids shouldn't have had these vaccines pushed on them.
Right. And so what's the consequences to doctors if they actually admit that they've done something that's created this? That would be one question.
So right now, first of all, no doctor will admit that mm-hmm. they've done something wrong or that they've caused these harms. And, you know, right now, those doctors that have pushed mRNA vaccines are being aggressively protected by the colleges of physicians and surgeons in each province. So I'll give you an example. We had a doctor who secretly vaccinated hundreds of children under the age of five, before the COVID vaccines were approved by Health Canada for that age group. So that doctor was vaccinating children who were not approved by Health Canada to take the shots. He said it openly. He admitted to it. He was proud of it. And the college did nothing to him. This should be an immediate suspension of their medical license. They're basically injecting an experimental product into vulnerable young children where this is not even approved by Health Canada. It's let's set aside the fact that Health Canada has been captured by pharmaceutical companies and is funded by pharmaceutical companies. Setting that aside, this doctor was injecting experimental products into kids for which it wasn't approved for. But because it went with the government narrative, he was actually protected by the college. Nothing happened to this doctor. In fact, he was being praised by the mainstream media for being courageous and brave. So this is the state of medicine in Canada, where as a doctor, you can engage in all kinds of unethical behavior and unprofessional behavior as long as it's sanctioned by the government and by the politicians. As long as it fits the narrative, you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. And it's sanctioned by parents too, though, because they're the ones bringing the children in. So again, parents have got to, like, we all, the idea of personal responsibility, even amongst the brainwashing, because Lord knows there's lots of it. But you've got to kind of hear if kids are being sick, and if you've got children in classrooms where the kids are all sick. I have six grandchildren, and two of them are in elementary, exactly the ages that you're talking about. So, they've been home lots. They're not jabbed. They're pretty, you know, aware. But a lot of the kids that they're with are sick, and so their sicknesses still pass around and circulate, don't they?
Yeah, no, we're all affected when a large group of people is immunosuppressed mm-hmm. for whatever reason. What ends up happening is that diseases that usually shouldn't cause a problem in the population suddenly become rampant and widespread, and that affects all of us. Because if you have certain viruses circulating in much greater numbers because a lot of people are immunocompromised or have their immune system suppressed. That affects all of us. So even those people who haven't taken the vaccines, who are perfectly healthy, you know, will come down with whether it's influenza or RSV or something else that's circulating now in high numbers because I believe a lot of the population is immunosuppressed as a result of the COVID-19 vaccines. And we see this in the hospitalization data. Now, Canada has stopped reporting this hospitalization data back in spring because what they realized was that even though they tampered with and manipulated the data of who is in the hospital, the vaccinated or the unvaccinated, they committed data fraud to paint the vaccines in the best light possible. So they would, anyone who took the vaccine within 2 weeks was considered unvaccinated. They repeatedly tested the unvaccinated in the hospital until they get a false positive result. They don't test the vaccinated. So we had these very skewed numbers and they tried to sell us on this pandemic of the unvaccinated, which was a fraud. I mean, that was a total fraud. And Justin Trudeau pushed this and Joe Biden pushed this as well. Joe Biden actually referred to the pandemic of the unvaccinated, which was a total fraud. But when the hospital numbers started showing that 80 to 90% of those who were hospitalized were vaccinated, despite their best efforts to tamper with the data, they just stopped reporting the data altogether. So now we get the occasional data from Australia or UK. And what that data is showing is that 85 to 90% of those who are hospitalized in ICUs or dying are the vaccinated. And it's the ones who are the most vaccinated, who comprise the largest group of the people who are hospitalized. So right now in Australia, it's the quadruple vaccinated who are filling the hospitals, who are filling the ICUs and the morgues. And they've released that information. So the more vaccinated you are, the more immune suppressed you are. Interestingly, the double vaccinated who stopped their mRNA vaccines are doing much better. They're not getting infected. They're not being hospitalized in such record numbers. They're doing much better than the double or than the triple or quadruple vaccinated. So we know that the mRNA vaccines are causing immune suppression, resulting in these outbreaks of viral diseases that are very unusual and are spreading through the population.
Yeah, worldwide. So it's a global event, not just here in Canada. So what is your main desire, Dr. Macus, with sharing this information? What is it that you want to see happen? You've written letters, as you stated. You've written more than one letter that hasn't been responded to at all by the Canadian Medical Association. Is there any legal actions, class actions coming against the medical associations? Like, what's happening to try and hold their feet to the fire?
My goal right now is to raise awareness of the potential dangers of the COVID-19 vaccines. And I really want to see COVID vaccine mandates halted and eliminated from healthcare and really ideally from everywhere, from the general public as well. We've seen wherever there has been significant pushback by individuals, the vaccine mandates do eventually fall. Recently, Western University in London, Ontario, which had a very aggressive vaccine mandate for their students, they were demanding that their students were boosted and even got their Omicron bivalent shot. And then they had two young students who died suddenly or unexpectedly, ages 20 and 21. The last death just occurred a few days ago. And now suddenly they said, after consulting with their medical experts, that they no longer require vaccine mandates for their students. However, we have very aggressive vaccine mandates in our healthcare system. We are forcing all of our doctors and nurses and other healthcare workers to be fully vaccinated with these experimental products that have a horrific side effect profile and that are injuring and killing healthcare workers in record numbers. So my goal is to raise awareness of this issue, this safety signal, because it is a very concerning safety signal. And then, of course, we need investigations into the sudden deaths of all doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers. And we need autopsies. We need autopsies to see if these vaccines are indeed causing these deaths. I'm not saying with certainty that they are causing these deaths, but I am highly suspicious because I have seen pathology reports in medical journals in the States and coming out of Korea where they've done autopsies on young people who've died suddenly or unexpectedly, and they are finding an aggressive form of myocarditis, inflammation of the heart, that the individual didn't know that they had. In Korea, it was a 22-year-old military recruit who took a Pfizer vaccine and dropped dead 6 days later with no symptoms, and they found on autopsy this very, very aggressive myocarditis that they had never seen before. And they said, this is a brand new process that's happening in this vaccinated person. And the Korean government actually agreed that the Pfizer vaccine most likely caused this individual's death. There were two teenagers in the United States who, again, took a Pfizer vaccine and dropped dead within the first week after taking the vaccine. They did the autopsies and found the exact same process. They found a very aggressive myocarditis, inflammation of the heart that they didn't know they had, and they died suddenly. Now, fortunately, these autopsy results were published, but we have nothing like this coming out of Canada. No one is investigating sudden and unexpected deaths in Canada. In Alberta, the number one cause of death right now is unknown. There were 3,400 Albertans who died last year of cause unknown. This is unprecedented. We shouldn't have thousands of people dying of cause unknown. We need these investigations.
And we're out of time, Dr. Macus, but thank you so much for being my guest and doing our part to try and expose the horror that's going on right now. So if you see somebody who's acting odd, including your GP or whatever, doctor, think about it that way, is that they've actually been hijacked too, whether or not they rolled their sleeve up on their own, of their own accord, through a massive amount of pressure or not. You're still not dealing with the same human being, potentially. And so thank you again, Dr. Macus. It's been wonderful having you. And if you're game to talk about this more, I'd love to have you on again, because it sounds like there's more information to share.
I would be very happy to come back. Thanks for having me.
Okay, wonderful. Everyone, have a wonderful week. Take care of yourselves. Love each other. Love yourselves. Mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.